Would you turn with me to Malachi chapter 3, verses 13 through 18? We'll be looking at several other places in Scripture. What God put on my heart to talk with you about today is God's protection. God's protection. Last week we talked about hope, and I hope you've been encouraged through that. But I think it's time, well, the Lord let me know it's time to talk about His protection. Malachi 3, verses 13 through 18. Actually took me to this scripture this week and highlighted some specific pieces of these verses. Beginning to read in verse 13. You have said harsh things against me, says the Lord, yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said it is futile to serve God. What did we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly the evildoers prosper, and even those who challenge God escape. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. They will be mine, says the Lord Almighty, in the day when I make up my treasured possession. I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and Lord, I just pray that You would watch over Your Word to perform it in our midst and within us today, Lord God. Lord, where our attitudes are wrong, I pray that You would set them right by the power of Your Spirit and through the revelation of Your Word. I pray as I bring this message that You would hide me behind the cross of Calvary and that You would step forth and reveal Yourself. That You'd put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words You've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to Your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. We all know we're living in very unique, very hard times, right? We're living in very hard times. Sometimes I think that there are probably many people that are maybe not verbalizing it, maybe they are too, but at least are carrying the attitude that we see in the first two verses of this text. Feeling like they've been abandoned and saying, what good is it to serve God when it looks like the evildoers are prospering and I'm barely eking out a living? When it looks like they have not a care in the world, and yet I am struggling through this life on this earth. Suicide in our nation is at an all-time high because of people losing their hope, and those who profess to be Christian are giving up on God. These are very hard times. God took me to the final verse, first of all, it's how I landed in this passage. He took me to this verse, verse 18. It says, and you will again see the distinction. You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. I think we are entering literally this month a season where God is going to make the distinction more and more clear between those who are godless and those who fear God. I literally think that there is a fresh move of God that he is, I'm seeing it happen starting this month. Give him praise. He's worthy. And that is exciting, my friends, because there needs to be a distinction. God's people have to again understand and live under the protection, literally according to the word, the shelter of God's wing. Under his care. Understanding no matter what rises up against us, he's got us covered. We are under his protection and his care. Guys, this should give us hope. We need these reminders from time to time, because after you get beat down day after day after day by the world, you at least ought to be able to go to church and hear a message that reminds you of God's protection. Because he is not like man. In him is no darkness at all. He is light. Many times as we live this life, we feel like we're groping in darkness. But God is light, and when we hang out with him, then we are, according to Scripture, in the light as he is in the light. Is that truth or not? So he's opening a distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Between those who serve God and who do not. We need to learn to live under God's protection. Stop trying to do everything in our own strength. As part of God's army marching according to his marching orders. Am I making sense? First major point. We can enjoy God's protection through spiritual relationships. Guys, we need each other. Relationship is so important. Actually, God's got me stirred up about relationship. There may very soon be a series start that I do on relationship. It's been a long time since I preached a message, a series, I should say, on relationship. And I'm thinking that God's leading me to revisit that, because relationally, too many people are really screwed up. And God is all about relationship. He created us for relationship. So when we talk about relationship, we got to go to God. We got to go to the Word of God. So, protection through spiritual relationships. In verse 16 we see of our text, we see the phrase, "Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other." Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. You know, we get built up when we fellowship together. What that tells me is they were fellowshipping together. We get built up, we get encouraged when we fellowship with each other. Listen, it's a good thing when we come to church and we can hear a message that edifies us. That needs to be that way. But also, we need not overlook the fellowship that we have with each other. It is very, very important, and it builds relationships between us. So those that feared the Lord talked with each other. In Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, I told you we're going to look at a lot of scripture today. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, we see the idea in this passage about how important it is to encourage one another. You know, suicide is a horrible thing, and it always bothers me when a person takes their own life. But it especially bothers me when a person who professes Christ takes their own life, because that involves taking their life that was once given to Christ back into their own hands and then taking that precious life that God had given them. So that especially bothers me. And we had another one this past week, right here in town. A person that professed to be a believer for years. That grieves me. There's not always anything that can be done, because when a person gets that set in their mind, pretty much they've got their mind made up and they're going to do it. But I wonder along the way how many people neglected being an encouragement in those situations. Not trying to lay a guilt trip on anybody. I merely am trying to make a point about how important we are to one another. When you come to church, I need to ask you something. When you come to church, what's in your mind? Is it, I'm going to go to church and see what I can receive today? That's part of it. But the other part of it is, I'm going to go to church and see who I can bless today. That's the other side of it. So we need to be mindful about, yes, we go to church to be built up and taught and to grow up in the Lord and to be blessed by the Lord. But also, we need to be mindful every time we come in the doors, who can I be a blessing to? See, because we are, according to Scripture, blessed to be a blessing. We exist to be a blessing to other people. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. I've got to be careful or I'm going to have my time gone. And it says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Do you see the day approaching?
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's not mindless gibber to talk about the fact that Jesus' return is imminent. It could happen very soon. And so we have a responsibility to share Christ with anyone who will listen. To pray for God to send people in our lives, in our circle of influence, that we might be able to be a witness to, an encouragement to. Because people that die without Christ are lost forever. There's no turning back. Once their life ends, there's no turning back. When you look out in a schoolyard, when school starts again, and you look out in a schoolyard, if you live near a schoolyard, and you see all the kids out playing, do you wonder how many of them are in families that are lost? Does it grieve you to think about the fact that the majority of people die and go to hell? Because wide is the road that leads to destruction. And narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few find it. But maybe if we changed our attitude about these things and were more purposeful about being a witness, maybe we could save one from that destruction. So we have protection through spiritual relationships by encouraging one another. We don't have any idea sometimes how bad someone needs an encouraging word. And I'm not just talking about in the church. You can't believe how many times I've been able to just sprinkle a few seed when I'm going through the check-through at a store, the checkout. And by the way, I hate self-checkout. I got nobody to talk to, and I end up leaving next door angry. I don't know what it is about self-checkout, but I must be a little simple or something. Just, there's always something wrong with it, so I don't do it anymore. I want a person that I can look in their eyes. I'm shopping in that store to have someone serve me. That's why I'm spending my money there. And while they're serving me, I want an opportunity to look them in the eyes and spread a few seeds. I've had cashiers that were having a tough day, and actually over the years, a couple of them, when I asked them, would you like prayer? They said yes. So I prayed with them right there in line, and somebody standing behind me. Yeah. You might say, that's radical. Yeah. But both of them said, thank you. I could tell one of them was plagued with confusion. She needed encouragement. I started by saying, listen, I'm not that important. Don't worry about it. Take your time. Just take your time. When I prayed for her, I prayed against the confusion. I don't know if she was new or what the situation was, but she was definitely struggling. Instead of saying, my, I didn't need to get a different, fire her and get a different cashier. You know how we are. I need to get rid of her, by golly. I got to get out of the store. I got things to do. That's the attitude we come up with. But when we encourage them, it might change their whole day. It might change their life. Am I telling you the truth? I got to move on. Secondly, through... besides encouraging one another, we also find protection through relationships through edifying one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 10 and 11. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 10 and 11. It says, He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Paul says to the Thessalonian church, I'm just reminding you, but you've been doing a good job at this. He wrote a letter to the Fultonians, or the Clintonians, or the Comanchians, what would it say? Would it say, I'm just bringing this to you as a reminder, you've been doing a good job, like it says here. Or would it say, I'm bringing this to you because you have been doing a good job, you need to get your act together. What would it say? Think about it. What would it say? What would the letter say to us, to the Fultonian church? So important that we encourage one another and build each other up. Did you ever notice when you spend too much time around a negative person, that you find all of a sudden that you've got a black cloud following you around? Everywhere you look, it's not raining, but it's raining on you. I have a term for people that have that effect on me. That term is joy suckers. This is a no joy sucker zone right here. This is a no joy sucker zone. want to build each other up. You know what I'm talking about by joy suffering. You say to a person, boy, what a beautiful day. And the response is, yeah, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. Okay then. Thank God for the rain. We need some rain. Protection, God's protection through relationships, through evangelism as well. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9, it says, but if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I know how that is. When God puts a word in me and is burning in me, I can't hardly wait for the service to be able to deliver that. Because it's just a fire in me. So I can really relate to what Jeremiah is saying. I can't wait to get in the pulpit. Now understand, at the same time, because of the responsibility before God, it also makes me shake and quake a little bit on the inside. Because there's a huge responsibility to rightly divide the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? Second major point. We have God's protection through His attentive ear. He listens to us. Which then makes me think about whether we listen to Him with the same attentiveness. Another short phrase from verse 16 of our text says, and the Lord listened and heard. Do you really believe when you pray that God not only hears every one of those prayers, but that He is in the process of answering it? Do you believe that? Now understand, when we're praying for specific things sometimes, we don't know any better, so we're praying for things that would harm us, and the answer is no. But that's still an answer. We forget that. We say, well, God don't answer my prayers. No, He answers every prayer. But He don't going to answer them usually the way you think He's going to, or the way I think He's going to. Sometimes we think we're pretty smart, and we can tell God the way it ought to be. Jonah did that. How'd that go? Where were you when I... Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. See, He hears those with a simple trust. We don't have to have massive faith. Jesus said, faith the size of a mustard seed. That's what it said. That's not monster faith, but having that faith and applying it. And that small faith we might have, that creates trust in Him. Because the first place we put our faith is in God. That's where our faith needs to be. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Here's the result of doing that. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, I want you to get this, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So He says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worrying. He said elsewhere that tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Right? But we find ourselves tossing and turning on our beds at night. Worrying about this, worrying about that. Worrying about a diagnosis of the doctor. Worrying about that. Worrying about everything. Worrying about our finances. When God said, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things you've been worrying about, will be added unto you as well. But we worry. Isn't that right? We got nothing to worry about, because if we are in Christ and He is in us, then we are under His protection, and He works all things for the good of those who love God and are called according to His purpose.
Amen.
But we forget about Scripture, and we get focused on everything. We start listening to the people around us that are filling us full of all kinds of negative stuff. Remember, this is a no-joy sucker zone. You got to get one of them zones around you. Don't let anybody fill you up on all of that negative garbage. It will steal your joy. It will steal your faith if it's let go long enough. It will erode your faith listening to faithless jibber jabber all the time. It'll begin to erode your faith. So don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Notice it didn't say in a few things. Everything. That's all encompassing, right? By prayer and petition. With thanksgiving. I find that interesting. We're supposed to praise God through all things. Isn't that right? We see that confirmed here in this verse. With thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the result is, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, it transcends, the peace of God transcends what we think. Joyce Meyer has said for years, stop that stinking thinking. And when she says that, she's not talking about us walking around like zombies and spiritual lunatics. I've run across people that don't use the brain God gave them, and that's not a good idea either. So there's a balance. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are called to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. Guard your minds. Those thoughts that come in that are wrong, kick them out. Those ones that oppose Scripture, kick them out. And fill that void with the Word of God. Fill that void with Jesus. The mind is the battlefield. Got to move on. He hears those with a sincere heart as well. He hears those with a simple trust, but He also hears those with a sincere heart. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14. Jeremiah 29, verses 13 and 14. We're getting into some sword drills today, right? God's Word confirms God's Word. You can't go wrong preaching God's Word when about all you got in there is God's Word. Jeremiah 29, 13 and 14, we're talking about a sincere heart. He said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places I have banished you, declares the Lord. and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. God's making abundantly clear through the prophet Jeremiah, yes, he judged the people, and they were judged and carried off to exile because they had turned their backs on God. But he also is making abundantly clear, after a span of time, he's going to redeem them. He's going to restore them. Abundantly clear in these verses that God responds to a sincere heart. Are we sincere? Or are we just going through the motions? Have we learned a few great catchphrases that sound spiritual and we use them when we're around Christian people and they figure we're pretty spiritual, but when we're around other people, we don't look like a Christian? See, when I preach this stuff, it gets like you can hear a pin drop. Even the children don't listen. Because it makes us think. Thirdly, he hears those who are completely surrendered. Completely surrendered. If you've been around here for a while, this is something I have hammered on ever since I first started preaching when I was doing a little traveling and preaching, filling pulpits when I was still running my business years ago. I started preaching this message about the fact that Jesus needs to be Lord and Savior. See, we have to be surrendered if he's truly Lord. And he has to be Lord and Savior, according to Scripture. If he's not Lord, he's not Savior. Makes it abundantly clear in several Scriptures. Matthew is one of them. People said, we did this in your name and this, we cast out demons, we did this. He said, away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. But to those who are completely surrendered, his response is, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter my rest. Powerful words. Those are the ones I want to hear. Those are the ones I want to hear. I can top that. Those are the words I want you to hear. That's why I do the best I can to preach what God puts in my heart and bring it to you. Because I want God's best for you. First John 5, verses 13 and 14. About being completely surrendered. It says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. To ask things that are according to His will, you have to be surrendered to Him and allow His Holy Spirit to lead you. We pray all kinds of things that are outside of the will of God when we are not surrendered to Christ and surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Am I making sense? So it's so very important. We see it through Scripture. It's so very, very important that we are surrendered to Christ, that He is Lord. Third major point. And protection through God's spiritual rewards. The final phrase in verse 16 of our text says, a scroll of remembrance was written in His presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored His name. Bottom line, they wrote it down. Right? In layman's term, let's get it simple. They wrote it down. And then we enjoy His protection for our faithfulness. 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 10. Lots of scripture, guys. 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 10. I'd love hearing those pages turn. Corinthians 5, 8 through 10, beginning to read in verse 8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. See, I've preached this a few times, and we've covered it before in Wednesday night Bible study, but it can't be explained too much because there's always new people. Because a lot of people are confused about this. There is a vast difference between the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ. A vast difference. If you are truly a born-again believer in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and you maintain that, and your life is required of you, and you are saved, you will not be at the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is for those that are lost forever. Believers go to the judgment seat of Christ. And that is not a judgment of whether you're saved or not. When you end up before the judgment seat of Christ, you're there because you're saved, and that is rewards. That is where rewards are handed out from God to you for the things done in the body. A lot of people do not understand that. The great white throne judgment is a judgment of unbelievers. The judgment seat of Christ is where rewards are handed out for the things that are done in the body. For believers, they have nothing to worry about with the great white throne judgment. For unbelievers, they have a lot to worry about. Because they're going to go from the great white throne judgment where they hear the books have been opened. And no, I don't see their name. I don't see their name in the book of life. And then more books are opened. And everything evil done in the body, they're going to be charged guilty of. But at the judgment seat of Christ, when the books are opened, and the bad things we've done, not guilty. Not guilty. Because the blood of the Lamb was applied and it was washed off the page. And all that's there is the rewards. The things that we did where we operated in the will of God and it bears fruit. And the rewards are handed out for those things that were done while in the body. Am I making sense to you? So there's protection for faithfulness. He even protects us from having to be at the great white throne judgment. Thank God. Secondly, protection comes through our faith. Revelation 2, verse 10. We're almost done, and we're almost undone. Revelation 2, verse 10. Says, do not be afraid of what you're about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know, God's protection is varying. There are times that we are miraculously protected from things that might happen to us. What am I talking about? Well, let me throw out a couple examples. When we get delayed and we're angry because we're held up when we're driving, does anybody else get road rage? Be honest, this is church. And then you get down the road, and there's a horrific accident, and you find out if you'd not been delayed, you would have been in that. It's one example that's very real. God protects us. But also, He uses us, and sometimes, like Job, for example, he went through a lot, more than anybody I know. And he loved God. It wasn't because of some hidden sin in his life. He was a righteous man. But he went through a lot. Why? Because God held him up against the devil. The devil challenged him. He said, oh, you blessed him. You blessed him so abundantly. No wonder he serves you. You let me have my way with him and he'll curse you. And God said, do what you will, only you can't take his life. That's where it ends. You can't take his life because I'm his protector. And he's mine. But you do what you will because you think he'll curse me. And I know his heart, he won't. Even after his wife said, you're disgusting. Curse God and die. Even his wife. Wow. And you know about his friends too. His friends are laying on him. What's the hidden sin? We know it's there. What is it? Come on, give it up. My point is this. Sometimes God protects us through death. Because if we're born again, we have eternal life. We're protected. Right? Am I making sense? I'm expounding on this because there's a lot of questions about this. A lot of people are confused about this. Well, how come this person got a miracle and they were spared from this, and this person died? You know what? God, it's all His, and He can do what He wants to, and He's righteous in whatever He does. The bottom line is, if we are in Christ, we are eternally saved, and that's what's important to me. If the Lord tarries, we are all going to die of something. Isn't that true? I have no fear of that anymore. Are you there? I have absolutely no fear of dying. I am a little concerned about what I got to go through to get dead. That's real, isn't it? But the bottom line is, God is our protector, so we should not be worrying about that. We need to spend less time worrying and more time being a blessing to the people around us. Last one. We enjoy God's protection through spiritual reward of protection for our steadfastness. See, the more we mature in the Lord, we become more and more established, more and more steadfast. Have you noticed as you've been growing in Christ that maybe the highs don't seem to be as high as they were when we were first saved and got our first revelation and everything was exciting? Was it that way for you? It was for me. I mean, it was amazing that God's grace on me. He was revealing himself to me. I actually came out of a house one time and a neighbor's dog had gotten loose and it was mean. And he was headed for me and he was snarling and growling and his teeth were all showing. And I turned full face to him. I was walking in faith, man, even though I was a new believer. And I pointed at that dog and I said, "You stop. Get down." And that dog stopped and got down on his haunches and stopped growling. And I went and got in my vehicle, and as soon as I was in my vehicle, man, that animal was up, jumping by the window, and then just going crazy. God's grace. I don't know if the same situation happened right now, whether that would ever happen again. But God was revealing himself to me. There was a special grace on me because I was a new believer. And he protected me and showed me that he was the one that did it. I didn't have no authority over that dog just because I pointed at it. I had only been saved for about 3 weeks. It was my sister's house that I came out of. They had a mean dog across the street. Maybe that sounds crazy to you, but I got no reason to tell you that story if it's not true. It really happened, and boy, that bolstered my faith. I was like, I got Jesus, man. You know what I'm saying? Protection for our steadfastness. Matthew 10, verse 22. Matthew 10, verse 22. It says, "All men will hate you because of me." Are you experiencing that? It says, "All men will hate you because of me." That's what he said. I got to tell you, in my own life, there are people that are anti-God that were fine with me when I was a drug addict that absolutely hate me. They wish ill for me all the time. I'm serious. And there's a lot of them. Some of them are related to me. Some of them are cousins. We got along great until I got saved. And oh my Lord, I committed the cardinal sin when I became a pastor. Then they wanted absolutely nothing to do with me. I'm an enemy. Funny thing is, when there's a death in their family, I'm the one that gets a call to do the funeral for them. And I get to preach Jesus in front of all of them. Yeah! All men will hate you because of me, so just get used to it. Get over it. Because it's the way it is if you're going to live for Jesus. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. But I love it when there's a but at the end of something like that. See, that phrase is kind of negative, telling you, yeah, they're going to hate you. Yeah, oh, by the way, they're going to hate you. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Are you standing? I've been encouraging you for a long time to stand up and speak up. Are you getting it? Are you ready to leave here and go do it? All right, let's all stand together. Father, I just thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for every man, woman, and child in this place today. And I just pray that we leave here challenged, edified and encouraged. That, Lord, we leave here with a fresh fervor to follow after you, to walk in your will, to seek after your righteousness, and to finish the course that you've laid out for our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.